Last American prisoners held by the Viet Cong, 27 servicemen and 5 civilians, were set free in Hanoi this morning. They were flown immediately to Clark Air Base in the Philippines, the first leg of their trip home. The last 116 held by North Vietnam are also to be freed by midnight tomorrow and on Thursday. And also on Thursday, the last American servicemen are to be out of Vietnam. The U.S. withdrawal was resumed this morning. One of those arriving at Clark this morning was Army Colonel Benjamin Purcell, 42, the highest-ranking Army officer to be captured during the war. And here is part of what he said at Clark.
Two of us have regained our freedom and a chance to start again our life. Some of us have been out of touch with the world for more than 60 months. One for but 60 days. How do all of us share the same thought that we are grateful for this day and for this hour? We rejoice at this opportunity to rejoin our families.
We'll have complete film coverage of the prisoner arrivals at Clark here on the Today program starting tomorrow. And one former prisoner, Army Major William Hardy, returned yesterday to his hometown, Greenville, North Carolina. Hardy received a warm welcome. He was a prisoner of the Viet Cong for more than 5 years and later talked about his experience with NBC News reporter Warren Wilson.
Sometimes I would complain about food to the people, and they would simply tell me that you are an American. You have no right to demand anything. You invaded our country. You kill our people. And we give you what we have. If you do not have it, you have no right to demand it.
You tried to escape once, but you were caught. Did they punish you?
The commander, of course, was mad that night. He pulled out his pistol and tried to shoot me. One of the cooks at me and put a cock up, and I thought he was going to shoot me. But he says, you're lucky. He says, your God is looking out for you tonight. He says, you could be dead. And they took me out of the little house, the house they had us in, put chains on both my legs. But the only thing I could do, both feet now, the only thing I could do was shoot up and lie back. And they kept me out there for 1 month. They thought I was going to die. They didn't give me any medicine while I was out there. And they wanted me to die.
Another murder conviction in
including 9 men captured in Laos. They were flown immediately from Hanoi to Clark Air Base in the Philippines.
42-year-old Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Walter Stisha, the senior military man freed by the Laotians, addressed the crowd of welcomers at Clark.
On behalf of all of us, I would like to thank all of the people of the United States of America for making our return possible. Thank you.
Only 67 Americans remain in communist hands, and they'll be released tomorrow in Hanoi, ending the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War. And here by satellite is a report from John Rich on the prisoners released yesterday by the Viet Cong.
The opening day of the final week of the prisoner exchange saw 32 Americans returning. All were men captured and held by the Viet Cong in the South. The dates of their capture ranged over a period of 5 years, from 1968 until January 27th this year. At Hanoi, the prisoners arrived in 2 buses. They were turned over by the communists in the presence of the International Control Commission. Once aboard the plane, they began to relax. Two and a half hours out of Hanoi, the big C-141 landed at Clark Air Base, where the now familiar warm welcome awaited them. Colonel Benjamin Purcell, U.S. Army, the senior officer aboard, spoke to the group.
All well. We will be out soon. We owe you more than we can ever repay for the faith that you have had in us. But we shall try. We ask you but one thing. support just a few days longer. Be of good cheer. Thumbs up. God bless you all.
There were five civilians, men captured in Hue when the city was overrun in 1968. There were also 18 army men, four Air Force, two Marines, and one naval officer, Lieutenant Commander Philip Keesler, the last American shot down in the war January 27th this year. And the last man had left the plane, about headed to the base hospital for medical checkup. With the return of these 32 men, all the American prisoners that the Viet Cong had looked to holding are now back in U.S. hands. John Rich, NBC News, at Clark Air Base in the Philippines.
Communist forces moved to within 15 miles of Phnom Penh today, despite the 21st day of bombing raids by U.S. planes. And in Washington, Senator J. William Fulbright demanded to know by what authority President Nixon continued the bombing.
Sunday, April 24, 1966, a play in worldwide scene with infernal colors, entitled That Was the World That Was, by E.R. Daughtry. Setting, LBJ catnapping in front of his TV at the LB ranch some spring evening. Beside him on the table, lined up in battle formation, are his hotline phones. A yellow one for China's Mao, a red one for Russian's Ivan, a pink one for Francis Charles, a black one for Martin Luther King, a white one for the White House McNamara, and a solid gold one for personal use. The gold phone gives out with a familiar tinkling, and the LBJ inquires in a casual voice. Who dares wake me from my dreams of the great society? Oh, it's you, Jay. What's that? And the comic explosion in Phoenix? You think it could be our dear friend Mao? LBJ grabs the yellow phone from his cradle. I say, Mao, did you fling a thing at us? No. You don't know who fired us. LBJ puts down the yellow phone and reaches for the red phone and fires. Ivan, the old fox, did you misguide one of your missiles? Nice, Mr. Lemon. You know our aim is better than that. The gold phone tinkles again, and Peter's quiet voice says, someone has let go a bomb in Minnesota. What are you going to do, old pal? Johnson grabs the peak phone. Say, Charles, did you teasingly toss one of your packages our way? Just touch, dear Lyndon. You know that I wouldn't be first to do a thing like that. The small gold phone tinkles again. A voice says, yeah, big daddy, we all in Alabama have been hit with this here bomb. The other boy grabs the black phone. Luther, you been pestered again by the Klan? No, sir, boss. It's one of them out-of-state jobs. He lets go of the black phone and snatches up the white phone. Robert, who in the devil is setting those bombs on us? I don't know, Lyndon. We've got thieves with all the red comrades, so they wouldn't do anything like that. Maybe it was faster. At this time, the small bomb lands on LBJ's prize wood. That does it. That two-bit coin though, here goes one, pushing the biggest button for Fidel. Fidel is hit, not having any hotline phones. He doesn't know who betrayed him, so he lets fly at Russia. Ivan can't help him sound the explosion which country the bomb came from. So he just lets go one in each direction just to play it safe. When China, France, and the USA are hit, not having any more time to lose, they let theirs go in various directions. Lyndon feels that this is a good time to get rid of the old surface bomb, anyhow, to create new jobs and win the quality program. If it were not for the utter destruction of mankind, it would go down in history as the grandest color spectacle ever, but who would write the history?
And President Nixon wrote to the giant telephone in the White House, there's no witness before. The president is moving to 480 deaths by sending the White House and hopes that everyone's business and political leaders over the years have been never prouder than welcoming the return to the prison. Then President Nixon introduced Air Force Lieutenant Colonel J. Quincy Collins, who directed a prisoner's court to McKinley admission in a Hanoi prison camp. Colonel Collins turned out to have a sense of humor.
Sorry, we didn't have time for just one rehearsal. And the men's room at the Sattler this afternoon. And I also understand that the CIA was looking for the music, but I did it so well they couldn't find it. Oh, God, you I think that all of us would like to join in a round of applause for the brave men that took those B-52 men and did the job. We do. Any bombs, any tackle in the morning. We started the day in the back of our bag. We said, we were going home. We started the day in the back of our bag.